There's so much that goes into job searching that, yes, it can be a stressful process. However, more often than not, there are things you're doing that are making your job search more stressful than it needs to be. In this episode, I share 5 reasons your job search is stressing you out.
Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I share quick insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who was able to turn my own frustration from being in an unfulfilling career into the framework I now use to help other women find their fulfilling career and job search with confidence. Let's dive in.
We will go ahead and get started. Okay. Like I said, I'm going to be sharing with you all 5 reasons your job search is stressing you out, 5 reasons why your job search is making you feel overwhelmed, honestly, and frustrated. And my hope is that as I walk you through these 5 reasons, you sort of are listening for, am I doing any of these things? Where do I fall? So that you can develop strategies to make your job search a little less stressful if it has been stressful so far. Okay. Now, while I'm sharing, if something is resonating with you, for those of you who are here live, please drop it in the chat. I really like to see what's resonating, what I need to sort of stay on a bit longer. If things are resonating, you can also tap the heart in the lower right corner. I'm an extrovert, y'all. So I love to feel your energy. You can't see me. Oh, sorry. I can't see you, but you can see me. And I love to feel the energy. If you're watching the replay, comment down below when something resonates. If you're listening on the podcast, rate the podcast when you're done so I know that it resonated. Okay. Let's see. Lisha said, I've been here one time. I wanted to thank you. I caught you on another platform. You told I had the experience and I finally landed the job. Yes. We love a good testimonial from the free content. Okay, new job. Look at you go. Yes, we are celebrating you, Lisha Love. I love it. Y'all, that makes me so happy. This is why I show up and share these free sessions. You know, I do offer premium services, and my hope is always that the contents that I share when I show up live resonates and shifts you to even start to take action, which is why I'm always asking y'all to share questions with me so I can answer your questions and continue to support you however I can. So yes, new job. I love it. I love it. Congratulations. That is awesome. Okay. Okay, let's get into these 5 reasons why your job search is likely making you feel stressed and overwhelmed. And the first one is that you don't know what kind of job you want. You don't know what kind of job you want. What I often see happening, at least with women I've worked with or even talked to, is when it comes time to job search, especially if you're someone who has been in the field for a while, just working for a while, I would say a while being 5 or more years. Over that time, you have likely developed a lot of skill sets. You have developed a lot of just knowledge where you can do multiple things successfully, right? It's one of those, oh, I could apply for project management, but I could also do marketing, but I could also do data analytics because I have the skill set for all of it. And so when you go into the job search, you're saying, you know what? I'm just staying open to see whatever is available. And I'm like, first of all, girl, you are not a book. Stop staying open. Okay. What you're staying open for? But 2, staying open will only leave you feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search, because when you start job searching, you automatically become a marketer. You are marketing yourself for the roles that you are applying for. You are trying to position yourself as an expert for the roles you're applying for, which means listing out your skills, your qualifications, and telling your career story in a way that makes it super easy for recruiters, for hiring managers to be able to say, you know what? Yes, this is somebody we want to interview or talk to. So when you try to do that process of marketing yourself for multiple jobs, it becomes really hard. This is when y'all slide in my DMs and you're like, you know, redoing my resume for all these jobs is a bit stressful. It's stressful because every time you go to do your resume, you're literally changing it for a whole different job instead of having a template that is small tweaks because the jobs are similar. So it's like, yes, you have many skills. Yes, you can do many things, but staying open to all the things you can do is only going to leave you feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search. So as long as you are not clear on what kind of job you want, you will keep feeling that stress. So what you need to do is really pause and get clarity. Get clarity about, okay, yes, I do have all these skills, but just because you have a skill doesn't mean you actually enjoy doing the thing that you're doing. So instead of trying to use all the skills you have, pause and ask yourself, okay, which of these skills do I actually enjoy? Which of these skills do I actually want to be using at work day in and day out? Which of these skills actually energize me and bring me joy? And what types of roles do those align with? But not even just skills, but thinking about what are my values? Because that will help you understand what kind of company do I want to be in? What are my interests? That will help you identify what kind of industry do I want to be in? Once you get clarity, and that is the first thing you must do, you can then create what I call your ideal job profile. And when you lay out your ideal job profile, it allows you to go into the job search being very strategic, very intentional, and yes, very picky. And when you are strategic, intentional, and picky, it allows you to reduce the amount of sort of grunt work that you're doing in the job search, because it's like, you know what? Once I've gotten clarity about myself, I know that there are maybe these two jobs that at this stage of my career, I would really enjoy these two jobs. I would really thrive in them. This is what I want to do. And so you go into this job search focusing on these specific jobs, these specific types of company profiles, these specific types of industry. When you do that, doing things like updating your resume, updating your cover letter, networking with people becomes easier because one, with the cover letter and the resume, because the jobs you're looking for are so similar, it is a lot easier and quicker for you to update your materials to match the company. You're not really doing an entire revamp for the job search. And two, with the networking piece, when you know what you're looking for, you can clearly articulate to people how they can help you in your job search, how they can help you in your career. And so if you don't have clarity, you will continue feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search. Now, before I move to number two, I know I did mention, you know, the ideal job profile. And if you've never heard that term before, you're not sure what that includes, I have a free training that walks you through that. So if you go to learn.jobsearchsimplify.com, someone who's here live, do, you know, your neighbor a favor, drop it in the chat for us. Help me type it in the chat. learn.jobsearchsimplify.com. If you go to that URL, if you're listening to the podcast, it'll be linked in the show notes and on YouTube. I'll put it in the description. In my free training, I walk you a bit in more detail what goes into your ideal job profile to help you get that clarity. Okay, so just check that free resource out. The second reason that you are likely feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search is that you don't have a plan or a strategy for your job search. You don't have a plan or a strategy for your job search. Now, first of all, yes, plan and strategy are two very different things. And what I often see happening, this is kind of like the cycle I see people go through, it's, okay, I hate this job, right? I'm doing this job. I hate this job. So I want to get out. So I'm going to start looking for a new job. I'm going to go on LinkedIn, job board, Indeed.com, Monster.com, and just start looking for a new role because I just need to find anything that's better than where I'm at. And so now you go on the job board and you just start scrolling mindlessly looking for what resonates or what you think is like, what can I do? What have I done before? What do I have the skill sets for? And maybe you're doing the LinkedIn easy apply, which you should never do, by the way, or you're just submitting your resume mass sending out your resume and praying somebody gives you an interview. I call that the spray and pray approach. It's like, there's no strategy with what you're doing. You're just looking for any job that you think you will get or that you can do. And doing that makes you feel overwhelmed because when you do that, you get a lot more rejections, you get ghosted a lot more by companies, and the more you get rejected and ghosted over time, and the average job search takes 3 to 6 months. So by like month 4 or 5, you are feeling so exhausted, you're feeling so discouraged, and that is starting to stress you out. This is when you find yourself up at like 2 a.m. scrolling LinkedIn trying to find another job. And at some point, you just want to like take your laptop and throw it across the room because you're like, nothing works. I hate everything. Like you just start, like you want to pull your hair out because you are that frustrated with the process. And that's happening because you approach the job search with the mindset of, let me just find anything that's better than what I'm doing now. And yes, we want to find something that's better, but if we want to go through this job search without burning out, You have to do it with strategy and a plan. And so strategy really addresses the why of your job search. It's the big picture. Think of things like getting clarity, which I mentioned in point one, and then your mindset approach in the process. So clarity, I already talked about in point one. If you join us later, catch the replay on the podcast or on YouTube. But with the mindset piece, it's more of, okay, what is my relationship with rejection? What is my relationship with marketing myself? What is my relationship with networking? Why do I even want this new job? Those are some mindset pieces that when you go into the job search without the right mindset, which is what feeds into your strategy, it will overwhelm you. Because you will be 3 months into the job search and feeling absolutely discouraged because you're thinking nothing is panning out. I suck. I don't have the skill set. Meanwhile, 3 months is like the bare minimum time frame for a job search. Again, on average, 3 to 6 months. Or you don't know why you're looking for a new job. It's other than the fact that I want to escape the job I already hate. But it's like, okay, that's just one piece of the puzzle. What kind of contribution do you want to make to the world? Because the job you pick will feed into that. What kind of work environment do you want to be in? How do you want to live your life? In terms of, are you going on vacation? A couple of times a year? Are you using your PTO? Are you working from home? Like, what is the lifestyle you want your job to help you cultivate? Because all those things will determine the kind of job you're looking for and will help you be strategic in how you approach that process. And the second piece of that is the plan. So the strategy, think strategy is big picture. Why? Why do I want this job? What is my vision for what my career is playing in my life? Very big picture. Plan answers all the other questions. What, who, when, how, anything that's not a why. When will you job search? When will you apply to jobs? Because those are two different things, searching and applying. When will you edit your resume? When will you network? When will you develop your skill sets? When will you fill your skills gaps? Where will you do those things? What does your job search schedule look like? Do you have a job search schedule? Have you mapped out day in and day out what you will do and when to advance your job search? That's your plan. When you go into the job search without a plan, you're literally just scrambling. What can I do whenever I get a small piece of time in my day? And over time, when you do that, it starts to feel like you're spinning your wheels in your job search. You feel like a hamster on a wheel, and it's like nothing is panning out. I'm doing all these tasks. It feels like I'm doing a lot, but it's not yielding interviews. It's not yielding job offers. Nothing is working. Nothing is working because you don't have a plan. Nothing is working because you are not going into it with clear targets, clear goals, clear action steps that you plan to take, things that you can cross off because you're going in with a plan. And so when you don't have a plan or a strategy, you will continue to feel overwhelmed and stressed in your job search because it will always feel like nothing is working. The third reason you're likely feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search is that you don't know how to market yourself. You don't know how to market yourself. And like I said earlier, when you start job searching, you immediately become a marketer. You are marketing yourself for a job. You are marketing your skill sets. You are marketing your accomplishments. You are marketing your value add. You become a salesperson. You're selling what you can add to an organization. And marketing and sales are skill sets in themselves, especially when it relates to the job search itself. And so when you don't know how to position yourself as an expert, when you don't know how to position yourself as the right person for the role that you are applying for, you apply to multiple jobs, but you don't hear back from companies, you get ghosted, or you don't get interviews, or you get interviews and you don't get job offers. And the more that happens, the more over time you start to feel stressed and burnt out because it's like, why is nothing working? I've been applying for months. I've been doing all the things that they told me to do on the internet and nothing is working. I hate this process. That's what happens. Okay. When you don't know how to position yourself, you get less job offers, and the lower job offers you get, the more stressed you feel out with the process. When you don't know how to clearly identify your transferable skills, you won't know how to position yourself again as the right person for the role. Okay. And when it comes to, this is something I go deeper in the training I mentioned earlier. If you just joined us live, I mentioned I have this job search training. If you go to learn.jobsearchsimplify.com, again, learn.jobsearchsimplify.com. I talk a bit more in that free training about marketing yourself and creating your career brand collateral. So check that out. But when it comes to identifying your transferable skills, it's important to recognize that you can't focus too much on, or you can't focus only on what you've done in your work. Because that's what I find a lot of women do. It's, okay, what other jobs have I had in the past? And that's all you're trying to figure out. But if you have had jobs in, let's say, finance, and you are now trying to get a job in tech, that's too close. I would say in education, right? Let me flip it a bit. Without the right strategy, you might look at those two industries and say, well, I haven't had any experience in education. I'm not going to be a good fit. I can't apply to these jobs. I'm not qualified. But it's like, okay, one, you have to back up and look beyond just your work experience when you are trying to market yourself for a new role, especially if it's a new role in a new industry or a new field entirely. You have to look at, yes, your work experience, but also your non-work experience, because some of those things have contributed to the skill sets that you've developed, and you might be able to position them as the things that make you right for the role. And also, when it even comes to the skills you develop on the job, you have to be able to think outside the box. Don't just look at your skill sets at face value. Oh, I've only ever done, I'm not in finance, y'all, so let me just roll with this. I've only ever done, revenue projections for this company. I don't know how that applies to schools or to the education system. It's like, okay, if you've done revenue projections, the skill set here isn't the revenue piece, right? That's what you're thinking is, I know how to project revenue. That's not relevant for a school. No, the skill set is not revenue projections. The skill set is looking at data, looking at patterns of data, and taking that and being able to make a solid hypothesis of what will happen next based off that data. So for you, it's, I'm looking at, in this finance field, again, I'm making this finance piece up, roll with it. I'm looking at either data of past customer behavior or past previous revenue projection, revenues that we have brought in. And I'm looking at that data and looking at the current climate, our, you know, updates we've made in the company, whatever it may be, and using that to project what we will earn moving forward. So the skill set isn't revenue projections, that's the name. The skill set is looking at and analyzing data and leveraging that to make projections about future outcomes. Education setting, students' outcomes, student academic performance, or if you're working in higher education, enrollment data. How have students performed in the past? Where have students enrolled in? And how can I look at that and project upcoming enrollment, upcoming academic outcomes? Right. So you have to look below the name of the task that you're doing and ask yourself, what is the skill set under that is driving the task that I'm doing? That's how you identify your transferable skills. Don't just think of the name. Oh, what is the thing that I've done? Okay. So that's how you identify transferable skills. Go beyond the surface of the title of the tasks that you've been doing. Okay. Before I move to number four, I saw a question earlier. I think, let me go back and look. I think it was Ibuturo, said, why is Easy Apply not recommended? First of all, if I'm being honest, it's the lazy way of applying to your job search. Okay. Using Easy Apply on LinkedIn is the lazy way of job searching, and no one ever got good results in their job search by taking the lazy way out. Let me just say that. Okay. But here's the other thing. Because so many people are using Easy Apply, a few things are happening. One, it's not tailored. It's not tailored to the job you're applying to. It literally just sends your LinkedIn profile off. And most likely, unless you have done the first thing I talked about, which is gotten clarity, and you have tailored your LinkedIn profile for one specific type of job, then you might use Easy Apply because you have already marketed yourself on your LinkedIn for that job. But most people haven't done that. Most people, your LinkedIn just talks about all the things you've done in the past. So when you do Easy Apply, you are not in any way, shape, or form tailoring yourself for the job. And remember what I said, when you are job searching, you are a marketer. You have to position yourself as the right person for the role. Easy Apply doesn't do that. Two, the average job posting gets 250 applications online. On average, 250. Most jobs get more, some get less. When you use the Easy Apply option, you become one of 250 people. You're not standing out at all. So you have a 98% chance of getting ghosted when you use Easy Apply. And I talk about this more in that training I've mentioned a couple of times now. So definitely check out that training because I think it answers that question a bit deeper. Again, that link is learn.jobsearchsimplified.com. Instead of using, yes, you know, you might use Easy Apply, but again, I don't recommend it. You can't customize your cover letter. You can't customize your resume. It just sends your profile off. That's not the way to job search. You need to be having conversations with people, networking. That is how people get conversions, right? Conversations drive conversions in your job search. And the conversions you're looking for are interview offers as well as job offers. So Easy Apply, to sum up, lazy approach, and that's not going to get you the results you want, at least not quickly. It'll take you a while. Doesn't allow you to market yourself and position yourself as an expert for the role, and makes you one of many. You don't stand out at all when you do Easy Apply. So hope that answered that question for you. Okay. Natalie said, I live in Egypt and I want to, that got caught off. Can you say the live? Cause internet is not the best. So for sure, my live sessions are always shared on my my YouTube channel. It's Her Career Doctor on YouTube. Check it out. Subscribe so you get notified when this goes live there, or on my podcast, The Fulfilling Career Podcast. So they're not saved on Instagram, but on my YouTube channel and on the podcast, you will always have access to these live sessions. So definitely subscribe to YouTube, turn on notifications so that when this goes live, you get notified, or subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when this episode airs. Okay? You are welcome. I'm glad that answered that question for you. Let's move on to number four reason why your job search is stressing you out. Number four reason. And that is that you don't know how to identify your transferable skills. So I just went through a whole breakdown of how to identify transferable skills. So hopefully I gave you some ways of thinking about looking beyond just the task and looking at the skill that drives the task. But to tell you why, you know, it leads to stress, when you can't identify your transferable skills and you're looking for a new job, then you don't know how to market yourself. Because really, the best ways to market yourself for a role is with your transferable skills, with your accomplishments, and really explicitly stating your value add. And so when you don't know how to identify your transferable skills, you end up getting less offers. And if you're job searching for a long time and you keep getting, like, nobody's inviting you to interview, nobody's inviting you to a second interview, like they do the screening interview, the screening phone interview, but you don't get a second interview, or you go to interviews and you're not getting job offers, over time, that really starts to stress you out and overwhelm you. And so it's important that you learn how to analyze the job description and you learn how to go beyond just looking at your task and identifying the skill sets that are driving the tasks. And I've already talked about that second one of going beyond the skill sets. When I talk about analyzing the job description, a job description is such a rich source of information for you. But what most people do when they're job searching is they'll pull up the job description, scroll to the very bottom to look at the requirement, and like, oh, I don't meet this requirement. I'm not going to apply. And it's like, yo, you just skipped past a host of solid data points and information that you can use to market yourself. The job description tells you the problem that an organization has. It tells you the kind of solution they're looking for. It tells you the kind of skill set they're looking for. And so when I say market yourself for a role, the job description is the first place to go to figure out how to market yourself because it tells you exactly what they want. And so if you don't know how to analyze a job description, how to look through it and see, okay, what is this company looking for? What is the kind of person that they're looking for? What kind of solution are they looking for? What is the problem they want to be solved? It makes it really hard for you to market yourself for a role, to identify the skill sets that you already have that are applicable to the situation you're looking at. Right? When you look at the job description, you see, okay, here's the problem the company has. Here's the kind of solution they're looking for. The next question is, how am I the solution? The answer is, what skill sets do you have that make you the solution? What have you accomplished in the past? What skills have you developed or can you develop that makes you the right solution for this organization? And so if you don't know how to answer that question, how to identify what makes you the solution, you will keep feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search. Okay? And then finally, the number five reason why you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search is that you don't know how to connect with key decision makers. You don't know how to connect with key decision makers. So first, what is a key decision maker? A key decision maker is anyone who can move your job search process forward. People who work in a company you're interested in, people who have made the kind of transition you want to make, people who work in the industry you're interested in, people who are doing the kind of work you want to do. Any of those kinds of people can move your job search forward significantly. People who are referred internally are 10 times more likely to get an interview than people who apply to a job online. And the biggest problem here is that you think networking is sleazy. That's why you're not doing it. And that's why you're feeling frustrated in your job search. You hear the word networking and you immediately like shrivel up on the inside. Like, I don't want to network. I feel so sleazy asking people to help me. It's like, first of all, chill out, back up. That's not even what networking is. Networking is simply building relationships. It feels sleazy to you because you're doing it wrong. You're waiting until you need something to connect with people. And that's why you feel like a, you know, the car salesman. That's what you feel like. But networking starts before you even start your job search. And it literally is just building relationships with people. And then you can tap into those relationships when you need them, when the time comes. And building relationships is getting to know people, getting to know who they are, what they need, and letting them get to know you also. That is what it means to network. Let people get to know you, get to know people, show a genuine interest in people. And then by the time you get to your job search, you don't feel like you're taking advantage of people. And then networking won't feel so sleazy. Because the other thing I want you to know is that only about 20% of available jobs are actually posted online. And so sometimes the only way to access those jobs is by having conversations with people. And I've seen this play out with my clients multiple times. They'll have conversations with someone and then when they have conversation, they will realize that, they'll realize that there are options available. They will realize that there are roles available that they had no idea about in the past. Okay, so it is so important that you are engaging, you are having conversations with people. So you definitely have to be connecting with key decision makers to advance your job search. You have to be building relationships because conversations lead to conversions. Conversations lead to conversions, meaning when you have conversations with people, you learn about jobs that weren't posted online. You learn about new opportunities that are available to you. You increase your chances of getting an interview. You increase your chances of getting a job offer. Because when you have conversations, you then also become more than just another name on a piece of paper. Because let's be honest, y'all, that's what a resume is. A name and a skill set on a piece of paper. There's no personality behind it for most people. When you have conversations, people can see the real life person that is in front of those skill sets and that name, and that leads to your increasing your chances of getting a job offer, getting an interview offer, positioning yourself as an expert. Okay, so it is so important that you learn how to connect with key decision makers if you want to feel less stressed in your job search, because if you keep only applying to jobs online, you will keep getting ghosted by companies and that will keep making you feel overwhelmed because you won't be getting the results that you want. You will keep feeling overwhelmed and stressed in your job search. Okay, so those are five reasons why you are feeling stressed and overwhelmed in your job search. Again, the resource I've been talking about is if any of that is resonating and you are ready to stop feeling like you're spinning your wheels in your job search, definitely check out my free job search training. If you go to learn.jobsearchsimplified.com, that's LEARN.job search the word simplified.com. You should be able to register for a time slot that works for you and your schedule to go through the training. Because some of what I talked about today, I go in a bit deeper. So like I break down what goes into an ideal job profile. I break down strategies for connecting with key decision makers. I break down, you know, how you can write emails that lead to results when you're trying to build your network. So definitely check out that resource. Okay. Hope that was helpful for y'all. If you're here live and it was helpful for you, let me know. Drop a comment and let me know what resonated the most with you, what you're taking away. If you're watching the replay on YouTube, drop a comment below. Let me know what resonated for you. If you're listening to the podcast, leave a review. Let me know what resonated. I saw a question here earlier on the live. So let me go check out the scroll and see if I can find that question. Here we go. I live in Egypt and I want to work in London, but I have that fear that I don't get a great job or not feeling comfortable alone there. Do you have any advice? So first, I'm hearing two things here. Okay. One is getting a great job. Two is feeling comfortable being alone in London. So the first thing I will say, we're getting a great job. That's totally up to you. Let me be honest. I mean, a great job is a subjective statement. A great job is a job that aligns with what you are looking for, which is why the very first thing I talked about here was getting clarity. So if you pause and get clarity, a great job will be any job that aligns with what you have identified as the kind of job you're looking for. And so if you get clarity and you only apply to jobs that align with the kind of job you're looking for, then you've increased your chances of getting a great job. So that's number one. And the second piece here is feeling comfortable alone in London. That's a personal, that's a whole personal thing. And let me give you, like, I think of when I do research, like I'm giving my positionality. I have moved every 2 to 3 years since 2005. Like in the past, maybe 11 years, I've lived in Arlington, Texas, Baltimore, Maryland, Colorado Springs, Colorado, State College, Pennsylvania, St. Louis, Missouri, and even Leeds, UK for a little while. I move a lot. And so when it comes to relocating, I'm very biased because I do it. And I'm already comfortable with moving by myself and being alone. So I'm biased in my response in that sense that I'm like, it really is just something that you do. One, my mindset was always, you know what? I'm young back then. This is not, but I'm young. I'm single. I don't have a job. If I'm going to be moving a lot, this is the time to do it. Because once I have a family, that's going to be harder. You know, now I'm not single anymore, but that was like the driving force. I wanted to see the world. I still have a desire to see the world. And so that's like moving for me was a chance to experience something new. But then two, there are different ways when you move to increase your comfort with that process. One, doing research on different areas before you move so that you can relocate to an area that you feel safe in. There are now apps that allow you to build community in new areas. And some of that requires you putting yourself out there if you don't want to be alone, like being willing to build relationships. And there is an adjustment period. Like the first year, you will largely be alone unless maybe you build relationships at work. And that's just by nature of you have to figure out, you know, where you want to go grocery shopping, what your routine is. And once you give yourself that year to settle, you can start building other relationships. But also I'm a homebody, y'all, sometimes. Like I'm a extroverted introvert or an introverted extrovert. Like I enjoy people, but I also really enjoy being on my couch reading a book. So moving to a new place is like, I'm just going to be home anyway. So I don't know if that answer really helped you, but that's my stance is, you know, moving to me is exciting. You get to see a new part of the world. You get to experience new things. And yes, being alone is difficult, but you can shift that if you want. You can find community if you want. I found community through churches. Whenever I moved, I tried to find a home church and build community that way. That hasn't happened here because pandemic. But also tapping into, you're still connected to your family, right? FaceTime, social media. It's like I spend weekends talking to my family. I build with like my colleagues. I would go out with them everywhere I've moved, whether it was for school or for work. I would go out with colleagues and build relationships that way, so I didn't feel alone. So those are the tips I can share. And I saw that you said thank you. So I'm glad that was helpful for you. Stylebarn, you said, thanks for encouraging us to apply for positions, even though we may not meet all the requirements via the job description. Yes, I'm guilty of not applying for a role if I don't meet certain criteria. Oh my gosh, thank you for saying that, because women are notorious for that. And here's what I want to tell you, okay? If you are 100% qualified for a job, you are overqualified. Let me bring that back for the people in the back. If you are 100% qualified for a job, you are overqualified. Please, 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 please stop waiting to meet all the requirements to apply for a job. You likely will not get it because they will see you as being an overqualified candidate. One. Two, when you do that, you are engaging in self-rejection. When you don't apply to a job that you have a really solid sense that I can actually do this job, you are rejecting yourself. Because when you don't apply, the answer will always be no. When you do apply, there's a chance the answer might be yes. And so I always say, don't ever, ever be the one to self-reject. And again, women are notorious for this, partly because we are afraid of rejection. And so instead of me getting rejected by somebody else, I'm just gonna not apply and I won't feel that sting of rejection. It's like, sis, rejection is a natural part of the job search. You are going to get rejected. Don't take it personally. Rejection is simply somebody else's opinion about what they are looking for. It is not a fact about you, your skill set, or your value add. Rejection does not say anything factual about you. All it tells you is somebody else was looking for something that you did not have, and that's fine. You can't have everything everybody needs. So please don't ever engage in self-rejection in your job search or in your career. If you think you can do the job, apply. Now, don't just apply because that increases your chances of getting rejected. Apply with strategy. Leverage a career coach. Leverage resources that have been put out there for you. Watch my free training to learn how to apply like an expert. Increase your chances of getting a yes, but don't say no just because you don't meet some criteria, because if you do, again, if you meet every criteria, you're overqualified. Two, you will be self-rejecting, and that is super sad. Let me just put it that way. Because you pretty much close the door in your own face. So please, please, please don't ever self-reject. Okay? But I said the word for me, showcasing capabilities of the position. That's your takeaway, showcasing your capabilities of the position. Yes, thank you for sharing that. So yeah, when you're job searching, your job is to market yourself and position yourself as an expert. Okay. Okay. I don't see any other comments or questions coming in. So we're going to wrap up. Again, if you're watching the replay, let me know in the comments below what resonated or what questions about job searching I can answer for you. If you're listening to the podcast, leave a review, subscribe. It helps the podcast grow, but also I'd be happy to answer questions that you leave in the review section too.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a couple of things that I would love for you to do. First, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review this podcast because I genuinely love hearing your thoughts. You can also help us reach others by sharing this episode with one person. Thanks again for joining us on the Fulfilling Career Podcast.